with the cost of running the facility. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
The Sitka Performing Arts Center was built in 2008, and for the first decade, the school district operated it. Then, in 2019, with the district facing a budget shortfall, the city, district, and Alaska Arts Southeast, an arm of the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, entered into a cooperative agreement to manage the facility. The city covered utilities, the schools covered heating and maintenance, and the Fine Arts Camp managed it. They didn't take a fee to do that, just revenue from rentals. That contract is up this summer, and when the groups came back to the table to renegotiate, the Fine Arts Camp notified the city that they'd need $125,000 a year from the city to continue managing the PAC. Management of the PAC is expensive, according to Fine Arts Camp Executive Director Roger Schmidt.
The main objective is to serve our school kids through the music programs, theater programs, assemblies, so forth and so on. And so we've been providing that service. We're coming to the assembly because at this point we're asking that the assembly, the city, I think we ran through all a big hard patch financially in Sitka. And I think we're hoping that this was a stopgap and not the future of our organization into perpetuity to run it at cost.
The Fine Arts Camp's business director, Drew Sherman, broke things down by the dollar.
In fiscal year 2023, we spent $230,000 to run the PAC, and the revenue from rentals and all our ticket sales for all the shows that we put on was around $80,000. So it's about a $150,000 gap. That kind of explains why we want to kind of break even and get these funds to continue to support and update the facility.
Planning Director Amy Ainsley wanted direction from the Assembly on how to move forward with drafting a request for proposals, or RFP, for managing the PAC, and asked whether the Assembly also wanted an estimate of what it would cost the city should they pivot to managing the PAC in-house. Assemblymember Tor Christensen asked if Ainsley thought a city-managed PAC could be more cost-effective.
I'm not going to hold you to anything necessarily, but do you see any scenario where it would cost less than $125,000?
I'm gonna ballpark and say probably not.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
There wasn't much appetite for a city-managed PAC at the assembly table. Several assembly members expressed appreciation and interest in continuing to work with the Fine Arts Camp, who have specialized knowledge in how to direct the facility. Assemblymember Tim Pike recalled being at a school board meeting when the groups negotiated the current agreement. The district wanted the city to take over the PAC because it was costing them $250,000 a year to operate.
And I would say, you know, Arts Southeast stepped up to help us make sure that this three-piece puzzle would actually function. Because I don't believe that facility is ever going to make money to pay for itself. I mean, it's a valuable resource in our community, but it's not a moneymaker.
Mayor Steven Eisenbeis said he wanted city staff to draft an RFP with clear expectations about who is responsible for maintenance of the building, which he said would be more important as it ages.
I agree. I think the first 15 years of building operation are pretty easy, and I think that after 15 years is about when it starts to break. And so that's why it was such a large concern to me. We may not have anything in the first five, but we may after that. So I think it's a large point that I definitely want worked out as we go forward here.
The assembly agreed that they wanted city staff to draft a request for proposals so that Alaska Arts Southeast and any other interested organizations could submit competitive bids for managing the PAC. That will come before the assembly at a future meeting. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
For many high school students, junior year is a whirlwind of academics, extracurriculars, and test prep. One group of students in Sitka has added something else to their load, a class on how to navigate the Federal Subsistence Board process. KCAW's Meredith Reddick has more.
Five regional directors, what are the land management agencies?
In a conference room at University of Alaska Southeast in Sitka, Mount Edgecombe High School students Elizabeth Griggs and Naomi Jones are eating strips of smoked salmon and talking about what subsistence means to them. Jones, who grew up in the village of Tyonik on the Kenai Peninsula, harvests moose and salmon with her family.
But it's a good snack to have as a family or as a meal, and it helps bring up the stories of when my papa was little and how he shares those with us and makes it all fun and just makes me happy.
Griggs considers the smoked salmon in her hand as she talks about her experience in the western village of Kaliganik.
I feel like it was great because it just reminds you of home, and it kind of grounds you where you are. Like, you could be feeling some sort of way or like anxious or homesick and you just want to go home, and then just having that little pick-me-up because of how much it reminds you of home and your family and just your way of life, because that's what it is. It's how you live your life.
Jones and Griggs aren't sharing this information just for fun. They're preparing testimony to share with the Federal Subsistence Board when they meet next week in Anchorage. They're part of a class offered by the U.S. Forest Service and Sitka Conservation Society that prepares high school students to navigate the board process.
This is the Federal Subsistence Board, and Ashley just helped us go over that. So can you remember who sits on the Federal Subsistence Board?
Heather Bauscher is the Fisheries Community Engagement Specialist for Sitka Conservation Society and Salmon State. Bauscher has been teaching this class for 7 years now, and she says the goal is to make students more comfortable with a challenging and bureaucratic process. The Federal Subsistence Board oversees subsistence harvest of fish and wildlife on federal lands and waters. They're also tasked with assigning rural designation, a designation Ketchikan is currently seeking.
Many people in this community and other communities know that engaging in these processes can be really difficult and can feel very overwhelming at first.
It's a process that can be especially difficult for rural Alaskans and elders who may have limited connectivity or ability to travel. Bauscher and her co-instructor, Forest Service fish biologist Ashley Bulwark, are helping students to break down the process into bite-sized pieces. Today, they tackle the structure of the board and the regional advisory councils. Later this week, they're meeting virtually with Board Chair Tony Christensen. And next week, the students head to Anchorage.
So I think it's really important to provide experiential learning opportunities to go into these spaces and learn how to navigate this, because I don't think there's a way to learn it through books. Like, you have to show up in these spaces and you have to practice going through it and being there.
In Anchorage, students will attend the 3.5-day meeting and testify in front of the board using the material they've practiced. They'll meet members of the board, follow proposals, and learn how to network. Griggs says she's nervous but excited to testify.
Pretty anxious about it, but I think it would be a good opportunity for me to be able to talk about this and advocate for this and show that youth are getting involved and youth do care. So I'm nervous, but for the most part, I'm pretty excited and excited to learn more about how I can use my voice to really advocate for the things I believe in.
The Federal Subsistence Board meets April 2 through 5 in Anchorage. In Sitka, I'm Meredith Reddick.
Commercial seining continued Thursday with another opener of the Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game opened the fishery from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. north and south of Sitka, according to a state press release. Open areas included Hayward Strait and Krestoff Sound, Deep Inlet, Samsung Cove, and Alakina Bay. State biologists conducted an aerial survey on Thursday, observing around 23 nautical miles of spawn along the Sitka Road system, along the causeway, and on multiple islands throughout the sound, as well as Redoubt Bay. Not counting yesterday's harvest, seiners have landed around 6,625 tons of herring. The state's next aerial survey is expected this morning. Alaskans have just a few more days to file for this year's permanent fund dividend. The deadline is 11:59 p.m. this Sunday, March 31st. According to the state's Permanent Fund Division, more than 565,000 Alaskans have already filed for their PFD. Division Director Genevieve Wadtusik says the number of applications this year has been about on track. Division staff are handling an anticipated rush of last-minute filings.
We've helped over 1,000 people a day every day this week, either by in-person in Juneau, Anchorage, or Fairbanks, or on our phone queue statewide, or our email system statewide.
The division's offices in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau are open today from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., then closed over the weekend. Wadtusik urges people filing in person to bring proper identification.
We appreciate them bringing a form of ID, and if it's their first time filing, they'll need to provide a birth certificate or passport, but they don't need to do that by March 31st. We just encourage everyone to apply now. We can get supporting documentation later.
Last year's PFD was $1,312. This year's amount hasn't yet been determined, as Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposed $3,200 dividend faces pushback from lawmakers seeking to increase state funding for schools. Dividend applications can be filed at the division's website. That's pfd.alaska.gov. Time now is 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.
We are back, and it looks like we met the match for Silver Bay, and now we're going on to a Norcoast Marine match of $1,500. So a big thank you to Kent and Linda Bankin. She also sends a shout out to the entire fishing fleet, but especially to the troll fleet on the fishing grounds who are within the listening area of Raven. And another anonymous donation that said, thanks to Silver Bay Seafoods from one fisherman to all the others. So big thank you to Silver Bay and Linda Bankin. And now we're excited to move on to the Norcoast Marine match from Mr. Steffen.
And I really want to mention Steph. He helped found this. He's a great person. If you support Steph and he's supporting Raven, give us a call.